This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, September 2nd. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. It's not quite game over for young video game fans in China, but new restrictions there will severely curb the amount of time they're allowed to play online. The rules, which took effect yesterday, limit players under 18 to just 3 hours of gaming time a week. On today's show, Wall Street Journal Deputy China Bureau Chief Josh Chin joins us to discuss how these restrictions will impact players and gaming companies, and what the Chinese government's broader goals are. That's after these headlines. Financial regulators have opened an investigation into the electric delivery truck maker Workhorse Group. The company was an early investor in the now struggling electric truck maker Lordstown Motors. The SEC's probe into Workhorse is the fourth known investigation into an EV maker in the past year, and the second involving Steve Burns, who founded Lordstown after leaving Workhorse in 2019. Lordstown is also being investigated by the SEC, as well as the Justice Department. A Workhorse spokesman didn't comment. Many businesses have ramped up their online presence during the pandemic, and now more of them are working to tailor their online products and services for people with disabilities, as the shortcomings in their websites become clear. To do this, they're looking to hire accessibility specialists. The number of job postings with accessibility in the title grew by 78% in the year leading up to July, according to LinkedIn. Our reporter Anne-Marie Alcantara says many companies' websites remain hard to navigate for people with disabilities.
Some of the issues these websites weren't addressing before include basic principles of web design, like making sure that every section on your website is clearly labeled so that a screen reader can read it, first of all, in the right order and also in the way it's intended to. A lot of websites perhaps aren't coded in the right way, so then a customer might be directed to purchase something before they even get to pick something that they want to purchase because it's just not thought about from an accessibility standpoint.
Amazon plans to hire around 55,000 corporate and technology workers globally during a recruiting event on September 15th. The company is aiming to fill roles in several divisions, including its cloud computing unit, Amazon Studios, and its broadband satellite venture, Project Kuiper. Amazon's been on a hiring spree since last year. It employs around 950,000 people in the U.S., with more than 450,000 of them hired since the start of the pandemic. And if you're an iPhone or Apple Watch user living in certain states, you may soon be able to store and show your driver's license or ID using the device's digital wallet. The app lets users display and use various kinds of digital documentation, such as credit cards, concert tickets, and boarding passes. Apple says the new ID capability will be rolled out starting in Arizona and Georgia, with 6 other states to follow. And the U.S. Transportation Security Administration will enable certain airport security checkpoints to be the first locations to accept IDs on Apple devices. All right, coming up, no games on school nights. What do China's new limits on online gaming mean for young people and big companies? We'll discuss after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
On Wednesday, new rules took effect in China that severely restrict the amount of time young people can play video games online. Between Friday and Sunday, gamers under 18 years old will only be allowed to play between 8 p.m. and 9 p.m., The rest of the week, they won't be allowed to play at all. The regulation will also require all users to register using their real names and government-issued IDs. It's part of Beijing's larger efforts to crack down on the growing power of tech firms and insert itself into the private lives of Chinese citizens. Joining us to discuss how these new rules are being received and what it means for gamers and gaming companies alike is the Wall Street Journal's Deputy China Bureau Chief, Josh Chin. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Zoe. How are you?
So, Josh, this isn't the first time China has restricted gaming for minors. In 2019, it limited playtime to 90 minutes on weekdays, and it also limited how much money they could spend on video games. So, were these new, even more restrictive rules a surprise?
Well, it was and wasn't a surprise. Last month, a state media outlet published a commentary that described video games as quote-unquote opium of the mind. And that triggered a pretty major sell-off in shares of gaming companies. Tencent, which is China's biggest gaming company, I think fell somewhere around 11%. And prior to that, you know, China's leader, Xi Jinping, has taken aim at video games as a sort of danger to the development of Chinese youth. So we've suspected for a while that something might be coming. But what was surprising was just how strict and specific these restrictions were. I mean, 3 hours is a pretty miserly.
Yeah, these new restrictive rules, how is China planning on enforcing them?
And that's a really good question, and they haven't been specific about it. And the way that things often work in China is that the Communist Party will come up with the rules and then sort of leave it up to the internet companies themselves to figure out how to enforce it. One instructive example is Tencent. In the past, they have used real name registration, which so, you know, basically everyone has to sign up for games with using their cell phones, and everyone's SIM card is connected to their identity so you can tell who someone is. And then they've also used facial recognition in some cases to sort of check if kids are using their parents' SIM cards or using their parents' ID information to get around restrictions.
Why is the Chinese government imposing these rules?
You know, the Communist Party has actually been worried about what it calls video game addiction for a couple decades. I mean, this traces back all the way to the early 2000s when everyone played video games in internet bars, and you would occasionally have stories surfaces of kids being found dead in them because they were playing video games for days on end and they forgot to eat, that sort of thing. And so since then, there's been this entire cottage industry in China that's grown up around curing kids of video game addiction. You know, what video game addiction actually is always pretty poorly defined, but, you know, there's just this concern that kids are spending too much time playing them. And then more recently, you know, the more that companies have found ways to monetize video games, you know, with things like in-game purchases, there's just been a lot of rising concern about minors sort of being induced to spending huge amounts of money, mostly their parents' money. So kind of put all together, I think the party just feels like they're a bad influence on the country's youth.
Okay, concerns about the impact of video gaming on society, and particularly on children, are echoed around the world. But of course, video gaming remains really popular. What has the reaction been like in China?
Well, you're absolutely right. And, you know, in recent years, the Chinese government has sort of tried to promote the esports industry in China, because China is actually quite dominant in esports and in video gaming. Its kids are sort of legendary. So yeah, the reaction has been strong. I mean, the caveat here, of course, is that, you know, censorship in China is quite heavy. So it's always tough to know exactly, you know, if what you're seeing online is what people actually feel. I mean, there's, even despite the censorship, you've definitely seen kids being pretty upset about this online. But parents, on the other hand, seem to be pretty happy. One of the most liked forwarded comments on Weibo, which is China's version of Twitter, you know, said the rules are good because minors can't control themselves. You know, got something like 15,000 likes. So parents are pretty happy.
Okay. The world's largest video game maker by revenue is Chinese firm Tencent. And these rules will clearly have an impact on it. But before we get to that, can you tell listeners who might not be familiar with the company, what is Tencent? Because it's more than just a gaming firm.
Yeah, that's right. So Tencent is one of the two sort of giant companies alongside Alibaba that sort of stands astride the Chinese internet industry. It's really massive. It has interests in everything from gaming to social media. Its biggest product is WeChat, which is a sort of do-everything app. It's got chat, it's got payments. It has more than 1 billion users, and it's basically considered sort of indispensable for modern life in China.
Okay, so it's got a broad range of business lines, but gaming is really important to Tencent. So how will these rules affect it, and how has the company been responding?
Well, I mean, this is obviously a big challenge to Tencent. You know, miners are big players of video games everywhere, in particular in China. So, I mean, you saw the stock price, which has been sort of generally hammered this year because of this sort of ongoing effort by the Communist Party to rein in the tech industry. Tencent did say after the op-ed came out earlier calling video games the opium of the mind that they would put in new restrictions to limit how much young people played the games. They weren't extremely specific about that. But now that these new rules have come out, one of their biggest games, Honor of Kings, said in a statement on Tuesday that it was not only going to comply with the restrictions for online games, but that it was also temporarily suspending offline games for all users, which is an attempt to address one of the loopholes that people identified, which is that the restrictions only apply to online games. So it's clear that Tencent and that other gaming companies in China are really eager to be seen as compliant.
What about gaming firms outside China? Will they feel the impact of these new gaming restrictions?
The impact for gaming firms outside of China isn't likely to be that big. That's because most foreign gaming companies have had pretty limited direct access to the China market. The censorship of games is pretty heavy. And so, you know, the few foreign gaming companies that have gotten into China have gotten in indirectly through partnerships with Tencent and whatnot. It's probably not going to be as big of a hit as it is for the Chinese companies.
All right, let's talk about the big picture. How do these rules fit in with China's other efforts to rein in big tech firms in the country and also make larger societal changes?
What's really interesting about this move is how it shows that the government's interests extend beyond business, right? It's, you know, this is part of a campaign by the Communist Party to mold a new, kind of more well-rounded, healthier generation of Chinese people. And it's a message to companies that Chinese leaders, they're just not afraid to sacrifice the profits of its tech companies if it means sort of achieving social development goals.
All right. That's our Deputy China Bureau Chief, Josh Chin. Thanks, Josh.
Thank you, Zoe.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. You can always find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, why not leave us a rating or review? You can do it wherever you get your podcasts, and it really does help. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.